Support for the homemade broadcast on Sunshine 96.7 FM WMTB comes from Truvy Salon and Spa in St. Petersburg. Located at 8908 4th Street North, Unit B, Truvy Salon and Spa offers hair care products and salon services by appointment only. Find out more about Truvy Salon and Spa at their website, truvysalonandspa.com.
This is a homemade broadcast radio production.
That's how science works. You do the evaluation based on the evidence. And, you know, if someone presents to me better evidence, I'll change my mind. I mean, that's what my obligation is as a scientist. I think the censorship is an enormous mistake that has been made in throughout this entire year. This idea that you have a narrative that you have to follow has been an error. It's sort of made it more difficult to address the epidemic in a meaningful way.
Central Avenue. We're all about the Sunshine City. RadioCP.com.
RadioCP.com presents the Homemade Broadcast.
Hi. First time listener, first time caller. This message is for Will. Screw you, asshole. Eat cum and fry ice.
Okay, and are you ready for the show?
Yay, we're ready, Lucy. Please start.
And so I started.
And I would like to shout out to Will Kuntz out of St. Petersburg, Florida. He does a weekly podcast called The Homemade Broadcast. I enjoy it very much. Just search HMB Radio Tampa Bay. I tune in on the iHeart app. Y'all keep up the great work. That was a very thorough shout out to The Homemade Broadcast. It's worth checking out.
Personnel, this is CBTS. Space vehicle pre-count operations will start on my mark at 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Homemade Broadcast, HMB Radio on RadioSt.Pete.com, Sunshine 96.7 FM in downtown St. Petersburg. My name is Will Kuntz. I'm the host of this show. Anna Hummel, not here this week. What happened? Well, she's got COVID. Anna has COVID. I hope she doesn't mind me saying that. I'll be interested in speaking with her about that in, I guess, a few weeks. I'm assuming she'll be out in a few weeks. I don't want to bother her and try to get her to come in and do a FaceTime or YouTube thing because she's sick. And I've been texting a little bit here and there with her, and she seems okay. But, you know, I don't want to bug her, ever come in and be sick and miserable. And she doesn't like doing the remote things, which I get, but also it's 2021 now, so this is the world we're living in, and whatever. So she's not here, and so it's just going to be me today. Sorry about that. 813-693-2124, hmbradio.com. Be sure to like the Facebook page, HMB Radio, all one word. Twitter, Instagram, home_made_man. Follow Radio St. Pete while you're there. Radio STPETE on Instagram and Twitter, and RadioSt.Pete.com on Facebook. Many thanks to my friend PP Steve for sending over a nice donation this week, which will be used when Anna gets better to take Johnny and Anna and myself out to some sort of meal. He directed that the funds go to that, and I will oblige his wishes. So thank you, Steve. I have that those funds set aside for that, and when we can all get together, we'll use it for that. They were very excited, and they said thank you as well. And if you'd like to give a donation to this show, I'd encourage you to do so. Of course, you're not obligated, don't have to. I do this for me mostly, and I'm glad that you like it. So that's enough if you listen to it. Be sure to please share it, though, with your friends and family, whoever, social media, push it out there. Give it a 5-star rating on iTunes or Spotify, wherever you're listening to your podcasts. You know, that's a really easy way to help, and it's free. And it really, really, really does help. And I noticed a few of you did do that. So thank you kindly for doing so. HMBradio.com/donate if you're interested in doing that. I'm setting up a crypto wallet as well. So if you have, if you're into the cryptocurrency thing, you can send a few Bitcoin or Ethereums or whatever else wacky crap is going on over there. I don't understand it still, but I know that it's a relevant part of our future. And today, for that matter, it's still relevant even now. So I set up a wallet for that. And it's just my name. I got to get some sort of find out where I can like put it. Usually they'll give you some sort of code or something that you can screenshot and send to people. And I put it on the website there. My Venmo Cash App's on that page. But it's just my name, Will. And then my last name, K-U-N-C-Z. And you can send, if you have Coinbase or whatever, you can send crypto. So that's pretty neat as well. So that first clip that I played was from a meeting with top scientists in the world. They talked with Governor Ron DeSantis a few weeks ago. And they put the clip on YouTube. It was some sort of roundtable with the governor and scientists from Harvard, Oxford, Yale. I mean, top-notch epidemiologists studying. You know, obviously they were talking about the coronavirus and COVID-19 in particular. And they did a roundtable, and YouTube pulled it. YouTube took down the governor of Florida's video for, I guess, spreading disinformation. Okay, I don't really know how that works. Now, some of the stuff in that video was a little different than things that the CDC is telling us and some of our other leaders are telling us, and I think that's where the problem lies. But boy, does that open up a can of worms for the future. Now we're saying that if you go against anything that the federal government said, not even the government, this is a state government. This is, you know, I think people would say would be and have some sort of authority. But now it's just going to whatever the federal government says, unless it's maybe somebody that they don't like who's in control of that federal government, like maybe the last guy or something, they might let it go if it was contradictory. But now that somebody that they seem to like, now they have they're the be-all, you know, authority on these things. And Anthony Fauci is a saint now, of course. And even though the missteps that he's made along the way, those are, no, don't worry about that. You continue to appeal to his authority in this. And he's a top doctor. Obviously, he's the head of the, he's not the head of the CDC. He's the epidemiologist, though. The head guy for these infectious diseases at the CDC. Now, the roundtable that was published by Ron DeSantis, you know, this incident is adding more fuel to the fire to call to address this big tech censorship. In March, the roundtable and the governor discussed the downsides of lockdowns, contact tracing, and even children wearing face masks. And that goes against, you know, what we're being told by the CDC. Dr. Martin Kohldorf, he's a professor of medicine at Harvard University. He was at that roundtable, and he said flat out that children should not wear face masks. No, period. YouTube cites that comment, another about face masks for children, and a third comment about questioning face masks' overall effectiveness at reducing the case rates for removing from its platform. And Governor DeSantis came out and said that it's Orwellian. And the governor's doubling down, reassembling the scientists for their reaction. And that clip that I played right at the beginning there, just before the intro, was one of those doctors' comments on that. He says, you are entering into a phase of countries we used to criticize severely, like the USSR, like communist China. And that was from Dr. Scott Atlas, the Robert Wesson Senior Fellow of the Hoover Institute at Stanford University. He says, we removed this video because it included content that contradicts the consensus of local and global health authorities regarding the efficacy of masks to prevent the spread of COVID-19. That was from a YouTube spokesman in an emailed comment. While the CDC recommends masking for anyone age 2 and up, the World Health Organization recommends masks for only those age 12 and older. And it was my understanding that the World Health Organization was the actual real authority here. But I would imagine now that since the other guy is out, Orange Man is gone, that probably the CDC will hold more weight in recommendations. So I guess they're going with the 2 and up now. These are exceptions, for children aged 6 to 11 based on those local rates. DeSantis said that they didn't cite any data. They just cited that some of you had dissented from other views. Well, you know, science in particular needs to have dissenting views aired. That's another thing. I don't know what's going on with scientists, but science is totally politicized now. There's this thing that Neil deGrasse Tyson does it, and actually Steakums, the brand Steakums, they make crappy steak sandwiches that are garbage, but also very satisfying, very delicious. For some reason, they have whoever is their social media person will sometimes attack Neil deGrasse Tyson. And they went after him this week because he's, you know, I used to really like him. And I think that, I don't know, just some of it, he criticizes, you know, movies. Well, this couldn't happen because of physics. It's a movie, Neil. We know. But he likes to do that. And he's, I don't know, his persona is very pompous. It's very strange. And his fans, people who actually really like him, are actually, I think, worse than he is. But for whatever reason, he said, you know, he put out a tweet that if you, the thing about science is that it's true whether you disagree with it or not. And Steakums went after him and said you log off. Log off is what they said. And then they had a follow-up tweet in which they went into this really poignant kind of statement about science. And the Steakum brand said the irony of Neil's tweet is that by framing science itself as, in fact, quote, true, he's influencing people to be more skeptical of it in a time of unprecedented misinformation. Science is an ever-refining process to find the truth, not a dogma. No matter his intent, this message isn't helpful. And I think that's a really good point. This notion of settled science, that there's one political party in this country that believes in science while others clearly ignore science. Well, no, they just go with the science that backs up their political feelings. Doesn't mean it's necessarily wrong all the time, no matter where you're at, but there is no such thing as consensus in science. Science is always changing. We're getting more information. We're learning more about the world. And this video that Ron DeSantis put up with these, you know, it's not me and you going and talking to the governor on YouTube, spitballing about QAnon or something. These are highly regarded people in their field that happen to have a contradicting view from the narrative. But that can't be accepted in today's. We're too far apart. We're split up. We're living in completely different realities. Well, maybe not realities, but different worlds, certainly. Some that are created and some that I think people are just trying to find the facts here, what's going on. And we can't agree on anything. Anything. I had a little, I made a joke to my friends, and I should have known better, in a text message. Not a great place to make jokes, especially regarding some sort of politics. I didn't think it was political, but it is, because this science stuff is political. But the Johnson & Johnson shot, the COVID-19 vaccine for Johnson & Johnson, was halted this week, or paused, as some people would say. Same thing. But this was something that came up in the text message. I said halted. Now, there were 6 cases in over 6.8 million doses. 6 cases of women between the ages of, I think it was 18 and 40 something, that had some sort of blood clotting with that Johnson & Johnson vaccine. Literally 1 in a million. The chances of you getting this blood clot, you know, from this vaccine was a cliche, a figure of speech, 1 in a million. And they went ahead and paused the Johnson & Johnson shot. You know, I think that's going to make people question the vaccine, that they're already afraid of it. And then it turns out that those fears were justified. Now, were they? I don't think they were. I mean, 1 in a million is, you have more of a chance of, as my doctor buddy pointed out, of having blood clotting from COVID-19 than you did with getting this vaccine. I said, well, why did they stop it? I mean, 6 cases in 7 million? That doesn't make sense. It's just going to freak people out. And they're all, and, you know, well, the other ones are good. Well, I don't know that. I mean, we were told to get whatever one was available to us, including the AstraZeneca one that came out initially that we ended up not using. But so now 2 of those vaccines are now gone. Now we have the Moderna and Pfizer. And, you know, I know a lot of people that got those, and they seem to, you know, be doing just fine, which is great. But I think for other people, people who are more skeptical to begin with, when you pull this rug from out under them, they're going to be freaked out to get these other ones. Because if this one's a problem and this one's a problem, maybe they're going to find that these other ones, maybe not. But I just don't understand what the hell government's doing here, what the CDC is doing here. Why are you pulling this thing? And if this virus is so much more deadly, like we're told, it's terrible, and we're going to decrease hospitalizations, and we're going to stop these, you know, risk of death from, you know, getting COVID-19, then I think that this vaccine is a good weapon. And of course, there might be some side effects with it, but is it worse than getting COVID-19? Doesn't appear so by the data. So what the hell are they doing? It's just freaking people out. And then at the same time, they're going to say that you're a nut for not wanting to get it. But then they'll also scare the crap out of you by pulling a vaccine that has 6 issues out of 7 million doses. 6.8 million, sorry, to be exact. So simultaneously have this same reaction. Call you a nut, and also call you a nut for not wanting it. It's funny. I mean, it's not funny, but it's funny. 813-693-2124. Going back to this video with Ron DeSantis, the governor said the incident will likely result in an expansion of the scope of social media censorship bill currently moving through the legislature. He says, quite frankly, this is even one of the most more egregious than I thought when it actually happened. But some progressive groups told us that they're more concerned with the recommendations made by the governor's experts than by big tech censorship. Sorry, I'm going to trust those guys over a progressive activist. Damian Filer says, masks are harmful. That's a quote from the last roundtable. Masks across the board are harmful, said Damian Filer from Progress, Florida. The social media censorship legislation currently imposes daily fines on platforms that censor political candidates and requires platforms to make their policies clear and apply them evenly. And what changes might be coming are not clear. They're going to get regulated is what's going to happen. They have to. I don't like that. I think that's bad. I don't want government having any control over the internet and social media. I want them to butt out. I want them to butt out of everywhere. My only true political belief at this point is that the state should be completely abolished. But it's not going to happen in my lifetime anyways, probably not. Unless the big war comes and maybe we'll be forced to that reality. Who knows? Don't want to jinx it. But they're going to get regulated. Josh Hawley and some of these other kooks are going to write up legislation to regulate these companies. And you just go, well, this is, you know, I don't want this, but this is, you kind of force their hand. What are they supposed to do? So they're going to end up getting regulated. And there's, you know, bipartisan support with that. Elizabeth Warren wants to break up Facebook, and there's some other ones too. So there is some, you know, feelings on both sides of the aisle there that this is something valuable to spend their time on. And they'll get what they deserve. Press wants it too. Corporate press hates the fact that Twitter and Facebook are around. CNN writes an article every day about how Zuckerberg's Facebook is the leading form of disinformation spreading that's around. With Twitter, you can see in real time when they lie, when they are quite literally participating in their yellow journalism. It gets exposed immediately. I just saw one today. I tweeted it out. I try not to tweet too much political stuff on my Twitter. So there was a story back just before the election, and there was the claim that U.S. Intel made the claim that the Russians and Vladimir Putin put bounties on American troops in Afghanistan. And they all, the corporate press, turned around to our former president and said, what are you going to do about this? What are you going to do about this? Trying to goad him into a war, I'm assuming. And he didn't do anything about it. Then they called him weak, a coward, and a you know, a puppet of that regime, of course, as he was called, you know, for many years. Today, a report came out from the Daily Beast saying, they walked back that claim. Eh. And I mean, nothing. There's no consequences of that, of course. Everybody forgets about that story. They intend for you to forget these things. Remember them every once in a while, but mostly just forget. And Twitter is a leading... wouldn't have known this if I didn't follow, you know, some of these people on Twitter, and they just get exposed. So press wants Twitter and Facebook and everything regulated and shut down, or at least controlled. They want to be the official voice. You know, corporate press is the arbiters of truth, and whatever they say is what is gospel and what is happening. They are truth dealers. Media is not the problem, as CNN Brian Stetler says. It's a problem. CNN is in some hot water this week. CNN. You know, I just went to go click on James O'Keefe's Twitter account. He's the founder of Project Veritas, which infiltrates political campaigns and news organizations. And his account, as of right now, when I'm recording this on the 15th of April, is suspended from Twitter. I wanted to use some of his videos because they went into CNN. They allegedly, what they do is do hidden camera type of stuff. And they allegedly caught this man. Well, I don't even think it's alleged. It's on video. They caught this guy. It was a woman that caught him on Tinder, is what Mediaite reported. And I guess he went on a date with this chick and spilled the beans about what that network is. And a CNN technical director, he was documented on an undercover video admitting to peddling fear about the coronavirus pandemic and using the daily death tracker on screen to do so. He was quoted as saying, I wish I could use the video, but it's not on Twitter anymore. He says, COVID gangbusters with ratings, right? Which is why we constantly have the death toll in the side. Let's make it higher. CNN technical director Charlie Chester told an undercover journalist, according to the political action group Project Veritas. So I actually had to just go to the website, Project Veritas' website, which is still up, and I'm going to play some of this video for you.
Gangbusters with ratings. Gangbusters with ratings, right? Which is why we constantly have the death toll on the side. Let's make it higher. Like, why isn't it high enough, you know, today? Like, it would make our point better if it was higher.
It's fear. Like, fear really drives numbers. Fear is the thing that keeps you tuned in.
If it bleeds, it leads.
Yeah. If it bleeds, it leads.
Yep. No one ever says those things out loud, but it's obvious.
They're actually telling the person what to say. It's an art form. It's always leading them in a direction before they even open their mouth.
It's fear. Like, fear really drives numbers. Fear is the thing that keeps you tuned in.
What?
And you can go watch that, projectveritas.com, and I encourage you to do so. I think the people that need to see it won't, and the people that know already know. This was nothing nothing surprising. The guy seemed to be aware of what he was saying, that it was very controversial, knowing and acknowledging that no one ever says these things out loud. Chester also declared there is no such thing as unbiased news, and that it doesn't exist. A conversation between Chester and the undercover journalist includes that the CNN staff are recalling a situation where there's a special red phone that would ring, and on the other end of that line, network president Jeff Zucker. Now, who is Jeff Zucker? Jeff Zucker was head of, before coming to CNN, he was head of NBC. What show do you remember from NBC that was a monumental hit? I'll give you a hint. It was a reality television show, and it involved business, and it involved a former president of the United States. Jeff Zucker was pulled Donald Trump from relative obscurity. He's always been kind of a pop culture icon, but pulled him out and made this television program called The Apprentice, which was a monumental hit on NBC, and put Donald Trump back into the limelight, put him in a position that he is this smart businessman, and he is going to judge these celebrities and their actions of business. I think they had more. There was celebrity. I didn't watch it. There's some celebrity ones, and then there was just normal ones with normal business people, and it gave him credibility as a businessman, that program, because we're stupid. And we believe everything that's put in front of our faces. Now, I'm not one of these people who thinks that Donald Trump's a loser in business or whatever. He's clearly successful in business. Yes, he started a lot of business and some of them failed. And yes, he got a loan from his dad, which helped immensely, I am sure. And he's turned that $1 million into billions, which I just saw he lost 33% of his net worth over the time when he was president. But he also just had that job to enrich himself and his family. Anyway, getting off topic here. Jeff Zucker then moved to CNN. He knows what gets ratings. And he turned against his one-time pal in Donald Trump and made good television out of it. Saved CNN, probably, from complete destruction. That network was saved, as was the New York Times. If you look at New York Times' stock price in 2015, it was about $13, I think, a share, and now it's well over $80 over the past 4 years. These media companies were saved by Donald Trump. And this guy, this director, Chester, there was a two-part series of this thing, if you want to go watch it all there. One of his quotes is, look what we did. We at CNN got Trump out, he told the undercover journalist. He says, I'm 100% going to say, I'm 100% believe that if it wasn't for CNN, I don't know what Trump would have, that he would have got voted out. He says, I came to CNN because I wanted to be a part of that. So this is why I keep harping on this stuff. And this is why I think it's important. And I think it's... you know, I know it's not going to change many of your minds. You probably already know this if you listen to this show. And I don't know what you should do. Should you share this with your friends and family? I don't know. I don't know if it's worth it. I think a lot of people are so programmed to believe, you know, the news in quotes that they would think that you're a nutcase, even if you presented them with this video. James O'Keefe's account on Twitter is suspended right now. Whether it's back, I'm sure it's probably back by the time you're listening to this. Hopefully it is. But he's gone. What's he suspended for? I don't know. And this is why they'll get regulated. Because they don't apply the rules evenly. So this is what you'll get. So what you're seeing in corporate press in particular is a contrived narrative. Goes far beyond a bias and goes into the agenda category. And a lot of these agendas are set in these decentralized realms. We have the illusion. We're told that this is a democracy here in this country. This is not a democracy. It's presented that way. And I think that votes do count, necessarily. I'm not one of these people who think the election was stolen. I think that rules were changed, and a lot of effort went into making sure a particular outcome was achieved in our last presidential election. I didn't participate in it at all. As I've told you, I don't believe in it anymore. I think it's a waste of time. And I think that these people want you to consume their propaganda and then vote accordingly. And they're counting on that fact to tell you, program you, what you need to do with that vote. So now that Trump is gone, remember, this started with Alex Jones and the Sandy Hook thing of suspending people from the internet. And as we've learned, it never stops. Once the ball rolls, it keeps going. Now a former president of the United States is still offline, still off social media. So much so that there was a video that the former president did with a daughter-in-law for her Facebook page, and it's gone. They won't even let him be on video for an interview. A former president of the United States. You're going to get what you deserve. You're going to get regulated. But that's where we're supposed to... They said, oh, no, we just want to get rid of these guys. All right, fine. And now it keeps on going. Keeps on coming up. So Twitter shows these people getting exposed. They yell at Twitter. Twitter bans those people. And you just got yourself a quagmire there. So they're going to get what they deserve in this thing. What can you do? What can you do? The lies and misinformation, yellow journalism are right in front of your face. And I think if you show it to a lot of people, they wouldn't believe it. We don't believe in anything anymore. We are presented a world we cannot figure out. It's so complicated. The world is complicated. Life is complicated. But man, above and beyond, I can't figure it out. But I know a video and I can hear it and see it. Now there's deep fakes out there, these deep fakes that they can, who knows, maybe it's fake. I don't know. Oh my God, I'm what a mess. What a mess. 813-693-2124 hmbradio.com. But we don't live in a democracy. We live in an oligarchy, and it's decentralized power in many different outlets. Things that you wouldn't even consider power. Corporate power being one. 100 U.S. companies, including Apple, Amazon, Ford, Starbucks, they've all declared their opposition to voting curbs that a number of states are considering implementing. Activist groups say the restrictions outlined in voting rights bill already passed in Georgia and being weighed in, among others, in Texas and Arizona, are specifically targeting people and racial minorities. Now, there's a term for this. It's called an impact economy. You're going to start seeing impact around quite a bit. Prince Harry, former Prince Harry, he's taken a new job at in a Silicon Valley startup, and his title is Chief Impact Officer. And this is funds that are used within these corporations where they use them to make policy and make fund, you know, activists and shape the world how they think it should be done, because government is bad at it, as we've learned. So they feel like they need to take the reins and do these things. Here's a clip of Anne-Marie Slaughter. Anne-Marie Slaughter is the CEO of New America. New America is branded as a think tank dedicated to renewing the promise of America, whatever that means. Let's hear what she has to say about this new impact economy.
You weren't going to run the world in 2045 by the institutions that were created in 1945. Countries won't stand for it. People won't stand for it. we did try to evolve. We tried to reform the Security Council, and it failed. And at that point, once I accepted that that was just not going to happen, we're going to get more revolution than evolution. But, and here's the optimistic part, it's certainly not Elon Musk and Mark Zuckerberg. God help us. That is not what I'm talking about at all. I am saying, though, that small and medium states can combine with lots of other powerful groups, with mayors. And I disagree with you. I mean, if you look at the world urbanizing and you look at what those mayors can do, they have their fingers on the pulse of the levers of change we must make. It can't be done by treaty. It has to be done by real local change. Rahm Emanuel just published this book, Nation City. That's a trend that's been happening for 20 years. So what I see that gives me hope are, as I said, impact hubs, hubs that are probably a combination of states, some reinvented international organizations, some foundations, and a bunch of networks that can come together and address specific problems. I think I may have missed a question. Oh, can the world afford to decouple from the United States? It won't. It'll decouple from the U.S. government. It won't decouple from U.S. society.
Wow. That's kind of big. So that is the future. I guess the future that I want is going to happen. Unfortunately, it's just ruled by other elites. We're jumping from one elite to another. They work hand in hand. The press shows you the propaganda that these people want to show you. You then shove down your throat and think that they're great and they have your best interest at heart. And these other people that are rugged individualists are actually the problem. Be part of the collective. It's much easier. And it very well may be in some aspects, but it's not our culture, that's for sure. And doesn't end there. Jonathan Greenblatt, he's the head of the Anti-Defamation League now, but he was also in the Obama White House. He was the special assistant to Barack Obama and director of the Office of Social Innovation and Civic Participation. This was his TED Talk from 2011, and he talks about the impact economy, and this is why these companies are signing these letters right now, demanding that these state governments don't do their job, that they are making policy, not politicians.
The mission is encoded in the DNA of the business because it sets out not just to drive margin, but to create movements. These are about trying to repair a broken status quo. These are about building new equilibria. And what are these businesses? They are representative of the impact economy, where supply and demand converge, not on the notion of a market clearing price, but on the notion of a world-changing mission. And we need this. We need this now.
Government's not the future. These elites in 2000, when was Occupy Wall Street? In 2008, these companies that signed this letter, these banks, we all came together in a collective. A lot of people did. A lot of people were fed up and sick about what these corporations were doing to our society, robbing us, picking our pockets. So we all kind of joined together. And a lot of people went to Wall Street and marched on Wall Street and brought guillotines, quite literally. And that was all shut down. And these companies panicked, I think. Now, that's not the collective that they want. They want you on their side. Come into our collective. We'll throw you scraps. Meanwhile, we'll drink champagne and wear diamonds in the top of our building still. But we'll go to race sensitivity training and, you know, and give money to these groups that claim to be working for equality and equity. That's another word you see a lot now. Give millions and sometimes billions of dollars to these groups, which is really table scraps to them. But guess what? Nobody's in front of their doors anymore. Nobody's out front of Citibank. Yeah, Starbucks gets some windows broken, but it's no problem. They're in cahoots with each other. They have insurance companies. They're good clients. They'll fix it. Everybody will be taken care of. Everybody's being massaged except us. Of course. We're on our own. And instead of taking our vengeance and anger to them, now we've turned on each other. Now we're all enemies with each other. They got us fighting with each other. Totally normal human beings have been driven totally insane. You can't speak to our neighbors anymore. People are losing their family and friends over this stuff. And it's all part of the plan, it would appear. It's not hidden. This isn't conspiracy theory stuff. Clear as day, right in front of your face. 813-693-2124. HMBradio.com. Home_made_man on Instagram and Twitter. I'm interested what you think, what you have to say. What are your feelings? How do you feel? That's the most important thing, isn't it? How do you feel? So yeah, hit me up on there, facebook.com/HMBradio. And with that, I'm going to go. Wish Anna the best of luck. Hopefully, maybe she'll be back next week. I don't know. I have antibodies, I think. Who knows? We'll see. Thanks so much for tuning in, folks. If you're listening on Radio St. Pete, stay tuned. Frank Rivera's Jazz Show is up next, followed by The Indie Circuit. If you're listening on podcast, thank you. Please do tell a friend about it. 5-star rating on iTunes. Share it with your friends and family. Record it on a tape if you have to and send it in the mail, FedEx it, whatever. Will Coons, HMB Radio, Radio St. Pete. See ya.
You have found The Homemade Broadcast on RadioSaintPete.com.